blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 112, stanzas 3 and 4. Let all who seek to see thy face be glad and joyful in thy grace. Let those who thy salvation love forevermore proclaim, O praise the Lord who dwells above, and magnify his name. 3 and 4 of Psalter 112.
wish to read out of God's holy and precious word from Book of 2 Kings, thereof chapter 4. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 2 Kings 4, beginning with verse 8 to and including verse 21. 8 to 21. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that, as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him, and went out. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, there are so many miseries in this world, as so many tears, so much weeping also in the midst of us. For thou knowest those who have lost their loved ones, a relative of our own and our aunt, but also a grandmother in the Netherlands. And Lord, that thou may remember those who do mourn, and those who are near and dear unto those who have passed away. For our flesh does have bonds, thou makest them, and bonds between husbands and wives, bonds between parents and children and grandchildren, for which we may be so thankful. But thou knowest that our sin has broken everything, and that we now have to leave one another. And we now have to mourn one another. We have to miss one another. Oh Lord, that there may also be tears because of the cause of all of these griefs. For thou knowest that we weep so little because that we miss thee. And we weep so little because that we have sinned against thee. We do not see how awful and wretched and miserable that we ourselves are. And we do not see how that we deserve all of these afflictions and punishments. Lord, that we need thy work of thy Holy Spirit in our hearts to open our poor blind eyes as they are. Closed by our own fall in paradise and by our own sin. And thou knowest that we have a corrupt will, a will that desires and longs and pants for all that is vain and carnal and sinful in this world. And then we do not believe thy word that says, that today that we live and that tomorrow we shall die. Lord, then it comes so unexpectedly upon us because of our unbelief. Oh, that thou may open our eyes and that thou may open our hearts, that thou may plant the love of thee in our hearts, that thy goodness may be bound upon us. That we may weep because we sin against a long-suffering and a good-doing Creator and Provider, and that we may have a desire and a need in our hearts that is born within, that we may return again. Oh, do stop us, even as thou dost say in thy word, in the parable of a prodigal son, who did leave his father's house and who did waste all his substance with riotous living. Oh, show us the riotous life that we have, though it may be in all the outward niceties of religion, but it is a heart that is against thee and wasting all our time and all our substance on all that is to be found here below and that is vain and that is passing away, as seeking what cannot last and seeking that which is no value. O Lord, give us to know that substance that is in thy holy word and that is in thy dear and only and beloved Son. For there is there a treasure, thou dost proclaim it in thy holy word, and that the kingdom of God is like unto a man who found treasure in his field. Lord, oh, thou only can give us to find this treasure. Oh, that thou may open our eyes to see it, even when we are young, the children, the boys and the girls, that we might see that there is a God in heaven and that we are created and provided for by Him. Oh, that it might break our hard and stony hearts, and that we might learn to love Thee, Lord, and that we might learn to seek after Thee in a day, as Thou dost say, when Thou mayest be found, that we may seek the forgiveness of all of our many, many sins. For thou dost say, and that every one that is godly shall for this pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. because that day is approaching that thou mayest not be found any more. And thou dost declare it, O Lord, in thy holy word. Give us also a heart to believe it, that we might learn to hasten for our life's sake, because we will find it to be the truth. O life that is passing so quickly away, Lord, come then. Come then with thy Holy Spirit. We cannot bind it upon ourselves. We have no desire to. Our hearts, they are not inclined to seek thee. But thou art able to make them so, Lord. Oh, that thou wouldst do so. And by that most holy power of thy Spirit, and that thou would come with that power, and that it may be felt by both young and old together, and that we may go forth out of thy house, being convinced of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and that we may smite upon our breasts and cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner, and that it may not be other people always, but that it may come unto myself, that true conviction of sin, and that we also may be brought to the end of our own righteousnesses, that thou wouldst make them filthy rags in our own sight, because we can so long uphold ourselves, and it is our own pride. It is our own unbelief of the depth of our fall, and that we still believe that we are able to please thee with our own doings. Lord, then it needs to be shown unto us. It needs to be opened unto us, that our hearts may receive it, and that we may be brought down, that we may be brought low in the dust of self-abasement, and that we may also cry out of that horrible pit and that miry clay that we have brought ourselves into by our own iniquity, by our own sin, and that we might know what it is for our feet to be set upon a rock. Lord, thou knowest who that thou art thyself, and thou wilt instruct that people who that thou art, for a wretched and a miserable and undone and a hell-worthy creature. Lord, that thou may show it unto that people, and that they may rejoice in the name of the Son of God, that thou wouldst deliver thy people where that they are as a poor and needy and afflicted ones, and that thou may magnify thy great and worthy name, remember, and wilt thou give unto all thy children an increase in the knowledge of self and in the knowledge of thee, because we know so little. If we may know but the smallest part, then it is a wonder already, but then there is also an ocean of knowledge, and there is a fountain of comfort, and that is to be found, that is laid up by thee in that salvation that thou hast decreed and that thou hast wrought, that thou may bring it into the hearts of young and old, and instruct thy dear people. They are thine, O Lord. And we do not know who they all are, because they are hidden so often. But thou knowest where they are, that thou may look them up in this hour, in this day, and that thou may bless them with a little token of thy nearness, of thy favor and communion, that they may be given truly to know that thou art dear, that thou art near, and that they are near and dear unto thee, and that thou thinkest upon them. Remember all the afflicted and all the needy ones. Do supply for all the cares and the concerns of families, husbands, wives, parents, and children, youth, And all those who have special needs and cares in the midst of this world, remember those that are addicted, and that thou mayest deliver them from that pit of hell, wherein Satan does seek to destroy so many people in this land. Lord, wilt thou turn his hand away, and that thou may have mercy upon us and turn us back with our rulers and all those who are set over us unto thy law and to thy testimonies. Help them to rule, to judge according to thy holy word of truth. Help and strengthen all thy servants to preach thy word, the candidate also, and all that labor upon the mission field. Bless and sanctify thy word of truth, and leave us not behind as we go to that great and never-ending eternity. Lord, bring us off of that broad way, and wilt thou bring us through that straight gate, to walk upon a narrow way. It goes straight over the mountains. It goes straight through the valleys. And then it goes between the lions, but they are all chained. Many fears, but Lord, thou art near to thy people. And thou wilt help them, and thou wilt bring them through. And that they may be given so to look to thee, and that they may be given to trust in thee, that they may be given to lay their case with thee, that thou may take it up for them, and that thou mayest lead them even unto those gates of bliss and into those gates, and that they may go open for them, and that they may be brought into that blessed and everlasting communion with the true and the living, the almighty, the just, and the most gracious God, to magnify and to glorify thy dear and only begotten Son, and altogether a triune God forever and forever. Oh, take our hearts, Lord, that they may not cleave to all that is here below, but that they may be in heaven, where thou art and where thou sittest on that right hand of power. Help us then in this hour, give that all may be done decently and in order, and come thou and dwell with us and work among us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 114, stanzas 1, 3, 6, 9, and 10. As thirst the heart for water brooks, so thirsts my God, my soul, O God, for thee. It seeks for God and ever looks and longs the living God to see. And longs the living God to see. 1, 3, 6, 9, and 10 of Psalter 114. Thank you. Beloved congregation, life is full of lessons, countless lessons, innumerable lessons, a multitude of lessons. They begin in our infancy and they continue even to the last day, to the last breath that we breathe in this life. It is well if we desire to receive knowledge and wisdom and instruction from all the lessons that can be taught to us in the midst of this world. Solomon says, the wise man will hear and will increase in learning. But on the other hand, he says that a fool despiseth wisdom and instruction. He shuts his ears to it. He shuts his eyes to it. The life of regeneration is also the same. That is a different life. And that is a life in an altogether different realm. It is a spiritual life. But in that life, there are also lessons that the Lord is teaching his people that begins on the very first day. In that day of the new birth, that those lessons begin to be taught unto his people. To David, the Lord says, I will instruct thee and I will teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will instruct, I will guide thee with mine eye, I will guide thee with my counsel. It is a blessed thing to be instructed by the Lord. Are you also desirous to be instructed by the Lord? And yet those lessons, the lessons that are here below, are not easy lessons. And they are lessons that are often taught to his people in the way of trial, in the way of affliction. Saving faith is not something that we can learn in a doctrine class. It is not something that we can learn just by reading a book. But saving faith is something that needs to be taught to us in our own life. It is something that needs to be taught to us in the experience of our life. And there is more than one lesson that needs to be learned by God's people. So the Lord is leading his people step by step that they may come back to him. And then he leads them through his only begotten Son. Some of these lessons we see. We do not see them all in every place in the scriptures, but we may see them here, we may see them there. And some of those lessons we may see in that history and that we began to speak about last week, the history of the woman of Shunem. And we desire with the Lord's help just to go a little bit further with this in this afternoon. Our text can be found in 2 Kings 4, the 20th verse. 2 Kings 4, verse 20. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. So far the words of our text. Last week we spoke about the promise to the woman of Shunem, and we spoke about that promise that was given to her and how that promise was also fulfilled. And today we wish to speak about this promise to the woman of Shunem tried. Thus the promise to the woman of Shunem tried. First, a sick child, and second, a dead child. First, a sick child, and second, a dead child. Carry him to his mother. So this mother receives her son. So she receives her son back again in this morning. She receives him from the hand of this lad. She receives him weak. She receives him faint. Do you know what that is, mothers? When our children go out in the morning, and then it is not always that our children come back to us the same in that day. What a joy and that there was in this household when this child was born. And then it is a special child. We have heard that last week. That is a child that was a gift. And it was also, and it is always a gift. We know that. But we do not always feel that as we ought to feel that. But this mother has felt that. Because this mother has experienced and that did not just come just like that. Oh, do we ever meditate on the fact that our children are a gift? And now we can imagine this mother was greatly humbled by this gift, that she was so very thankful for what the Lord had given to her in this child. And now it seems that that child grew and prospered, and then there was joy in that home, and there was contentedness in that home, and they may live together as father and as mother and as child, and everything for some years seems to have gone so very well. And then there is also an expectation, a daily expectation in our heart, and we look forward to things prospering, to continue to go well, and that that child will grow up and he will become a young man and so on. But suddenly things change. Are there those also in our midst that do experience what that is when things change? Because Solomon says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. And when we get sometimes that child back unto us, he has fallen, he has hurt himself, or whatever that may be, oh, then we feel a little bit of this, because this child went out in the morning. He went out with health and strength. He went out, boys and girls, to be with his father. You like maybe to be with your father? They could do that, I think, when in his days a little easier than you can go out into the field today. But he would be out there with his father in the field and with the other men. And just a few hours later, he cannot bring himself back. No, he has to be carried back. Do you feel that, children? A little bit sometimes how frail that our life is. That just a little accident. That just a little disease. And our breath is able to be snuffed away. Who does this to this child? The Lord does it. There is nothing in the whole world that takes place outside of the decree of the Lord. Why does the Lord do that? Well, that is not all revealed to us. We do not know all of the reasons why the Lord deals so with men in this world. The world is full of sorrow. And the world is full of sorrow because of sin. If only we felt that more, what the cause of all that sorrow is. And now in that sorrow, then we may see punishment. Because there was no sorrow when the Lord created us in his image. And when all was good in the sight of the Lord, then there was no sorrow. But now all the sorrow that is in the world, that is just the beginning of that final punishment, that is the sorrow unto the wicked. And if that begins so, and that if those punishments are already so sorrowful, then what shall the end of all of those punishments be? But we are not actually speaking here about a woman of the world. No, we are speaking here about a God-fearing woman, about a God-fearing mother. Are you a God-fearing woman? Are you a God-fearing wife? Are you a God-fearing mother? That is a wonder. If our children may have a God-fearing mother in the midst of this world. But why would the Lord bring sorrows upon His own people? We do not know all of that. Sometimes God's people wander away from Him. Sometimes God's people receive blessings from the Lord, and then they go to enjoy the blessings, and when they are taken up with the blessings, they forget Him. And that inner chamber is no longer occupied, and the Lord would commune with His own people. Thus, how shall the Lord bring His people back again to Him? We read about Enoch, that he walked with God. But that is not so common in this world. No, that is not even so common amongst the people of the Lord. And when they are in the midst of all the prosperity of this world, we can read about Solomon. We can read his life. What a blessed man he was of the Lord. What a tender fear in the days of his youth. And he is given all the riches of this world, and they have drawn away his heart. No, they have not drawn him away fatally. They have not drawn him away eternally. That is not possible, because he is a chosen of the Lord. But how far that people are able sometimes to depart from the Lord. And now Solomon writes about it in his own book, the Song of Solomon. And he writes how that bride is on a bed of sloth, and that bridegroom has to come knocking, "Open unto me, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night." Then there is pictured by Solomon that fact that the Lord desires communion with His own people, then He is not giving them grace that they may just depart and enjoy His blessings. But the Lord has a desire to enjoy His people, and that is that He may commune with them, and that they may commune with Him, that they may lay before Him all their troubles, and that they may desire to experience something and hear from His own mouth. It is a great mercy when the Lord does not let His people go. That is what they deserve. But that the Lord still has dealings with His people, that the Lord does not permit them to walk in the path of their own heart. Those dealings are not judgments. No, just the opposite. Those dealings are the mercies of the Lord. But they do not always experience them to be so in the moments that they are upon them. Thus, sometimes the people of the Lord, they are departing from Him, and the Lord would bring them back, and then it is often through a way of trial and affliction. But it is not always so. No, sometimes the Lord would just lead His people. Sometimes He would just lead them and give them more instruction. that he may lead them in the lessons of faith, in the exercises of faith, because there is always more to be known. There is more to be known of themselves. There is more to be known of him. Thus, Job's affliction did not have to do with his sin. The Lord was not afflicting him that he may bring him back. No, the Lord speaks about Job himself, that he was a perfect and an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Do we also? And we find nothing in all the history of this woman of Shunem that the Lord had to correct her. And yet we find dealings with her. It did not just all go in the way that she expected. Thus, there were lessons for her. Does the Lord also have lessons for you in your life? And when the Lord brings those trials and afflictions, is your heart open to receive such lessons from the Lord? Then there are lessons here not only for this woman of Shunem, but they are also lessons for us. That is the reason that the Lord gives all that history to be written in his holy word. There are children, there are young men, and there are fathers in grace. There is a concerned church. There is also an established church. And how is it now that the Lord is going to establish his church? How is he going to teach them? How is he going to lead them further into the knowledge of the mysteries of salvation? Well, then we cannot be established in faith without the exercises of faith. That is the same in this world, is it not, young people? If a man wants to increase his strength, then that strength has to be used, and those muscles, they have to be exercised. And that is the same thing in that kingdom of God, in that spiritual realm. Then it is necessary that that faith is brought into exercise by the Lord. Carry him to his mother. So this mother receives her child. She receives him from the hand of this lad. He is weak. He is faint. Probably he has suffered a heat stroke. A little shade, a little rest, and it will be well. And so this mother does what every mother would do. She takes her child and she places him on her lap. She holds him in her arms. She comforts him. She cares for him. And then she waits. She waits for what? Well, that little rest, that care, that will certainly be for his welfare. And she waits, but her son does not get better. No, it gets worse. Thus that fever rises. And then he is complaining more and more about this pain that is in his head. Perhaps she tries to cool him. She tries to help him. But it does not work. And thus more and more, this mother begins to worry. It is going in the wrong direction. It is not going well. Thus, slowly on, this mother is becoming more and more concerned about her son. More and more, she begins to feel something within herself. And what is that? She begins to feel her weakness, her frailty, her helplessness. that actually there is nothing that she can do. She begins to feel that she is without power, that this sickness, that this disease, that this affliction that is more powerful than she is herself. And then she feels how quickly and that this is progressing. What do you think that she has done? What would you have done, mothers? Oh, you say, I would have rushed him to the hospital. I would have brought him to the emergency room. We have it so good, do we not? With so many means. The Lord gives his blessing upon those means. That is a wonder. Oh, we may be so thankful for everything that the Lord gives to us in our days. But did it ever come further than that? Oh, when that doctor says, well, there is nothing that I can do anymore. There are no more means for me to help you. And then what do you do, mothers? What do you do, fathers? Well, then you bow your knees. Oh, then you feel your weakness. You feel your helplessness. And then you begin to pray. When there is nothing anymore that you are able to do, do you think that this woman prayed? You can be sure she did. Because she is a God-fearing woman. Because she is a God-fearing mother. Is that not something, children? If you may have a God-fearing mother, if you may have a God-fearing father, and if they may now lay all of your needs before the Lord, to ask the Lord if he will heal, if he will work, if he will have mercy on my son, on my daughter. But this child does not get better. It gets worse and worse. It goes, congregation, so wrong, so wrong. And she becomes more and more afraid. And what is she so afraid of? She's afraid of losing him. She is afraid of losing him. She cannot imagine that. She had not struggled with that before. For all these years, it had just gone well. And she may be thankful. And she may go forward in the midst of her family. Years of health. Years of strength. Years of comfort. Years of enjoyment. Years of expectations for what is lying in the future. But suddenly, it has become different. And then she is brought face to face with what? With the frailty of life. With the frailty of that life that God has given unto her. And then she sees how quickly that life can be taken away from her. She shudders. She shudders at the thought of it, at the thought of death, of losing her child, and of losing that life that has been given unto her from the Lord. No, there are no guarantees. She feels that now. She has received a blessing from the Lord, but she feels how frail that life is. And indeed, according to all the fears of her heart, that what do we read of that child? He sat on her knees till noon and then died. What was that for that woman, for that Shunammite, to have her son upon her knees and take his last breath. Who can know the grief of that except for a mother? For a mother who has carried a child under her own heart, whose love and whose care for her child is unrivaled. Oh, that poor mother. She has lost everything. Everything. She still has her house. She still has her husband. She still has all her many possessions. But in her heart, oh, she feels it. She has lost everything. And so that poor woman weeps. She weeps tears of grief. She weeps tears of sorrow. She weeps until her heart is not able to weep anymore. And now in her arms lay a lifeless body. And her whole life that flashes before her. Because what happens when our loved ones die? Then we go back. Then we go back to the beginning. And then all the experiences of our life, of that person's life, they're all coming back to us. And we are speaking about all of those things with our loved ones. And so this mother, this God-fearing mother, she is also going back. And then it goes back to how that she has received this child. Oh yes, that child of every mother in this whole world. Today that love waxes cold, we know that. But that love of a mother, that is an unrivaled love. But there is more here. There is more here. Because this mother, when she goes back over the life of that child, then she has to go back even over her own life. And then she sees more here than there is in the lives of most mothers. Because then she has to go back to remember how that this child was a gift. How that this child was a special gift. How that this child has been given unto her specifically by the Lord. Then she has to remember that this actually was a child of promise. That the birth of this child was a wonder. That was a wonder that she has experienced in her life. And that wonder that was from the Lord. Oh, she remembers the day that she received that promise from the Lord. She remembers that hour and how it was in that hour. When that promise was spoken unto her from the Lord, from that servant of the Lord. Oh, she recalls how great that promise was. She recalls that she could not even receive that promise for the greatness of it. Oh, she recalls the words that she has spoken to that prophet. And then she has to say, but it was true. But it was true. The promise of the Lord was true. The Lord did it. He actually did it. What I could not believe that he would do. And the Lord has brought it to pass in my life. and I have rejoiced in this child. And when I have brought this child forth from the womb, oh, she remembers that day. She remembers the rejoicing of her husband, of her family, of those that are around her, her neighbors and friends. Oh, then she has spoken and she has rejoiced in what the Lord has done. And what the Lord had spoken then was so true to her. And the Lord was so true. And there was no one that could tell her that the Lord was not true. And she was ready to proclaim that to the whole world. What the Lord was able and willing to do unto such as she was. And now she holds him in her hands. She holds him in her arms. And he is dead. And he is dead. How can that be? How can that be? Oh, the questions that are now living in the heart of this mother. All the things that she has experienced in her life. All the things that the Lord has done in her life. What does she think of the Lord now? Does the Lord just give in order that he may take away? And then you can be sure that the devil was with her in those moments, in that hour. You would have been happier had you never received anything as a gift from heaven. Congregation, let us sing 102, 1 through 4. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. 1 through 4 of Psalter 102. congregation, it is a very sad thing that we bring to you today, the sickness and the death of the son of the woman of Shunem. You say that is so very discouraging. It is so very depressing. You say maybe there is no hope in that. But it is, congregation, the reality. It is the reality of life. It is the reality of natural life. It is the reality also of spiritual life. This is not the last sorrow that has come upon mothers in this world. Those sorrows have continued even until this day. Sometimes such mothers feel so very alone, because it is not the experience of most mothers in this world. But actually they are not alone. Sadly, there are many mothers that are with them. And sometimes it is good to know. And sometimes it is good to feel and to be able to commune with such persons who may know that same way wherein the Lord leads you even in the providences of this life. But there is more, because there are lessons in it. They are lessons not only for this life, but they are also lessons for spiritual life. They are lessons concerning the leadings of the Lord with his own people. That is a people that often feel so very lonely, because they believe and think that their case is singular, that they are the only one that experiences it to be so. But they must hear that they are not alone, and it is good for them so to hear. It was really our intention to preach last week about the woman of Shunem. But then we have to pass over so much. Then we have to pass over actually so many lessons that we can find in this simple and beautiful history. And then there is just one particular thing that we find that is coming into the foreground in these words that we thought we would like to lay before you. And what is that? That is about the cutting off. What is that? We often hear that the Lord cuts his people off. That is an expression, young people. That is a very important expression. It's also very important that we understand what such an expression means. Thus, to be cut off means to be brought to an end, just like if you take a plant and you would cut it off. If you are cut off, that means you are brought to an end. You are brought to the end of yourself. That is so necessary. Why is that necessary? Because that is the place that the Lord is granting his greatest blessings unto his people. We have tried to rob the Lord in paradise. We try to rob him of his own honor and glory. But the Lord will not give up that glory. And the Lord is going to get his glory again. He is going to get it in the judgment, in the punishment of the wicked. And he is going to get it in the salvation, the redemption of his people. But he gets it also in the midst of this life. Because the Lord is granting his people his blessings in their extremity. That means when they are brought to an end. That is the only way. Otherwise, God's children also are taking honor and glory unto themselves. But the Lord is always working a wonder in the life of his own people. But there is often confusion about what this actually means. To be brought to an end, to be cut off. And there are actually two things, two lessons, two different lessons that the Lord is instructing his people in and that come to the foreground in this history. Because the beginning of that life, that new life, a regenerated life, the beginning of that life is a sweet life. Then we can read in the Bible how that with joy and rejoicing, then they are joining that multitude to come up unto the house of the Lord. That the Lord is leading them from strength to strength, from resting place to resting place. They are blessed times. They are blessed times full of hope. They are times that are full of expectation. Oh, they are times of expecting what? They are expecting to bring forth fruit themselves. What are they going to do for the Lord? They're going to please the Lord. Do you want to please the Lord? That is a good thing. When we depart from sin, that is pleasing unto the Lord, we read in the Bible. Do you wish also, young people and children, to please the Lord? That is what the Lord puts in the heart of his own people. Oh, how much effort do they put into this? That they are walking according to all of his ways. And then hoping and looking, they come to that house of the Lord and they are going to receive a blessing from the Lord. And then they are looking for communion with the Lord. They are looking to make it well with the Lord. All by bringing forth fruit. We say that that is a blessed time. But at the same time, that becomes a disappointing time. Are they then disappointed in the Lord? No, never. But they become more and more disappointed in themselves when they realize more and more that they cannot do this. That fruit to please the Lord, that is something that actually I cannot do. Oh, there are some who believe they do it. And the Lord leaves them go. Like that rich young ruler. All these things I have kept from my youth up. Oh, he did not see. He didn't see any further than all the things that were outward. And he did this and he did that. And now the Lord says to him, young man, and it says the Lord loved him because the Lord loves such a life. But he says, young man, you need to look a little deeper. If you think that all that is just outward is keeping of my law, then you are mistaken. I will give you something to do. Go now and sell everything that you have. Oh, the Lord gave him to know, to see, to feel his covetousness. Something that lives within. That is now what is happening in that people. more and more. Oh, they see that those hands, they are too short. They are not able to fulfill. The Lord begins to open to them that cesspool, all that lives within their heart. So they begin to see that even their best works, even all their righteousnesses, they're as filthy rags before the Lord. Oh, can you understand that this is a blessed time, and at the same time that this becomes a disappointing time, such a discouraging time, more and more to learn their own unfruitfulness, that is so contrary to what they thought, how that was going to go. That is an important lesson that does not take place overnight. No, we say such a man is cut off. He is cut off from what? He is cut off from his own work. From his own work. He is cut off from his own ability, that he sees that there is nothing that he is able to do. Oh, an important lesson. It becomes for such a person so hopeless, actually. So hopeless from his own side to keep that law of God. Necessary to be cut off. Why? Ah, there is the place, a blessed place, a place where comes room for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that may now come in. We have seen this a little bit with the Shunammite woman. Oh, she despaired. She despaired of the fruit of her own body. But it was now just this despair. Oh, when we would say she stopped praying for it anymore. That now there is place for a wonder. Now there is place for the Lord to work. And now she receives a promise of a gift of a son. And that is the way the Lord is now revealing. If we may compare those two things together, the Lord is revealing his only begotten son. We say then it becomes Christmas. Then that child is born. And that is a wonder. That child born in the stable of the heart of that people. And what is now so special to that people, that is that they have experienced in their life that is a gift. That it is a gift. The Lord opens to them what grace is, that it is no more of work, but it is all of him, and that all that work has been completed in his only begotten son. Oh, then you understand. Then there is a rejoicing. There is a skipping. There is a leaping. There is a dancing in their heart. When they may receive this son to be born in their heart. Oh, then it is a time of love. It is a time of desire, not only for God, but also for his son. Oh, the heart is drawn unto that son. And then a special rejoicing in that gift of God, truly experienced to be a gift in their life, a new hope. Oh, how different then the world becomes, a new hope in this child. And the Lord makes that hope to grow. He makes that hope to prosper. It's full of love. It's full of desire. It is full of seeking after him. It is full of drinking of this fountain, and so do years. Years can go by, blessed years. But now, congregation, we see in this woman we see a second cutting off. He sat on her knees till noon and then died. Where is she now? Where is she now with everything that she has received in her life from the Lord? She was given life. But that life is dead. And now she has nothing. It is all taken away from her. But there is more. Because this cutting off is different than that cutting off which has gone before. What is different about it? It is the cutting off of death. What is death? Death is punishment. Death is punishment for what? Death is punishment for sin. And death cannot happen except that sin is brought to our remembrance. We read that about the widow and Elijah. She says, have you come to call my sin to remembrance and slay my son? Thus, it is a judgment. It is the ultimate judgment. It is the ultimate punishment for our sins, condemned by God in the highest court of heaven. Thus we perceive a second kind of cutting off in the life of God's people that is different from the first. It is the cutting off of a different object. The first has to do with cutting off of works. But this has to do with cutting off of life itself. This is a cutting off that brings into the court. This is a cutting off that brings a man to face his own guilt. Because that surety is revealed in the birth of his son, that does not mean that the case of that people is finished. No, they have not yet that acquittal from their judge. Indeed, everything is finished from the side of the Lord. But we speak about here how it is experienced. What are those lessons? Those lessons that the Lord is giving unto his own people. That Shunammite rejoiced in her son for years. A blessed time. But there came here a different time. That child is brought home sick. Thus she experienced the frailty of that blessing. She was not sure. She was not sure of that blessing that had been given unto her from the Lord. That is now what that church of God is brought to realize. After that they have rejoiced in the birth of his son, in the gift of his son. Ah, then they say, but I still miss something. I do not know that my sin is pardoned. Thus the Lord takes away grounds from everything they have experienced. Just because they have experienced this does not mean that they are able to be certain for themselves. They say that is not sufficient. They have still fears that they can lose it all. They lack the guarantee. What do they often say? They say, what do I have? With all that I have experienced in my life, oh, I can say what the Lord has done here and there, but what do I have? With all of these, they are brought into death with it. Even to a fear that it is all gone, that it is all dead. So that they say, that which I greatly feared, that has come upon me. Does the Lord take it all away? You are not alone. And he sat on her knees till noon, and then died. And then what does that mother do? What do we read? And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. Why would she do such a thing? What do you think? Is it not time to prepare for a funeral? Should she not call her husband? Should she not call the servants? It is hot. The body will begin to decompose. We need a hole. We need a grave. That body needs to be buried. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. Oh, was there something in that? We hope to consider that next time. What is living in the heart of this Shunammite in this very special time? Children, boys and girls, young people, you can die. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You can die. That is what we see here. Will you take that home with you today? Because how would it be for us if we had to die? When we were young. Because what comes after death? After death is the judgment. And then we have to stand before God. Then we have to give an answer for something. Everything that we have done in this life, whether it be good or evil, and everything that we have heard from our mother and our father and our teachers and our office bearers and from the pulpit, all that we have to give an answer for. Oh, how are we going to fare in that judgment? That is the great question. That is a question for each and every one of us. Do you know what we need? We need a mediator. Do you feel that? We need a surety. Do you feel that? We need a savior for our own poor soul. Before we die, do you believe that? Oh, the Lord, take away from us every ground upon which we build that is false, that we are not found in that last day, like we are warned by the Lord, with a foundation that is sandy, but that the Lord may place us by true saving faith upon that solid rock, and that we may seek to know with certainty from the Lord that we are on that rock and that it is well with our soul on our journey to meet Him. Amen. O Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth. It is but a few words, but it is thy word. Oh, teach us out of it and lead us into those blessed truths of thy word. For we need to know our own inability. We need to know our own guilt. And we need that true saving faith upon thy dear and only begotten Son, that blessed surety that is able to go between us and thee. Lord, remember us. Bless thy word. Give us thought, meditation, and searching of thy truth. Dismiss us with thy blessing, and help each one in the labors of our hands in the week that goes before us. Lord, wilt thou give in thy mercy also rain from the skies, and wilt thou not judge us according to our many sins? Remember the little girl who must be operated on in the coming week. Lord, be on the right and on the left hand of those physicians. Make it well and prosper that procedure. And remember those that are sick, the former elder also from this place, with that awful news. Lord, help him, visit him, and bless any means that may be used. And wilt thou teach us all truly to be pilgrims and strangers here below, as seeking a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 241 through 4. Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance in thy mercy. Answer me. 1 through 4 of 240. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.